You know, I thoroughly enjoyed that song. I'm going to tell you. You know, our y'all know that I speak on behalf of Voice of the Martyrs. That's the ministry that we are in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're in different churches all over the place. And our founder, Richard Wurmbrand, when he was kidnapped off to the streets of Bucharest, Romania, on February 29th of 1948, Russian police came and kidnapped him off the street, threw him in a car, blindfolded him, put a sack over his head, and they hauled him around for an hour or two before they finally came to rest, and they pulled the blindfold and the sack off of him, and he was in an office of the commandant of a prison. He had no idea where he was because he didn't see it. Actually, they had only driven around for that time period, and they were only a few blocks from where he actually was kidnapped. But it was for confusion. You see, that's what the enemy is good at. He's good at confusing us and intimidating us and manipulating us. But the one scripture that Richard Wurmbrand turned to was in Psalms 56. And it says, whenever I am afraid, I trust in God. Whenever I am confused, I trust in God. You see, to be men and women of the Word of God, we must always remember that the Word of God is stronger than any of our circumstances. That Word of God that's hidden within us is going to carry us. You remember that. Because unfortunately, there'll probably be a day and a time in the United States of America where you're going to have to call upon the Word of God, because the Word of God is all that you're going to have. That's just a fact, okay? I don't know when that is. That's just about like when people talk to me about the coming of the Lord. I say, man, I don't know. The angels don't know. Jesus don't know. Only the Father knows. Don't listen to all these folks that claim that they know, a bunch of false prophets and false teachers. Just read the Word of God and digest it and get it within your heart. Because you know something? What's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. You think about that. The Lord told us that sweet and salt don't come out of the same spring. See, the words out of our mouth are going to tell people who you are. It's just the way it works. I preached a message one time on check the tree. Check the tree. Check the tree. Check your, you know, me. Check the tree. See what kind of fruit you're bearing. See where you are in your walk with God. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Did you come expecting to receive something this morning?
Amen.
Came expecting to receive? You know, over in the book of Acts in chapter 3, I think it's chapter 3, should be chapter 3, in the book of Acts. You know, old Peter and John, they've been out wandering around after the day of Pentecost, and they heading for the temple, and they meet up with a guy begging. Y'all read that story plenty of times, I'm sure. And in chapter 3 there, we just start at verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went together to the temple for prayer at the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. See, I want you to recognize who you are to the world. Look at us. You know, The Lord told us we're supposed to be peculiar folks. Now, that's not weird. That just means that you don't follow the world. You don't follow the worldliness that this world is about. You don't follow the things that this world is all about. We follow Jesus Christ and Him crucified and do our dead level best to follow everything that He has commanded us to do. You see, then you'll see the fruit of the tree and people will know that you follow Him. When they look at you, they should see Jesus Christ and not you. You see, when we fill ourselves up with Him, we become, and just to coin a phrase, we are what we eat. Well, if you eat of the Word of God, guess what? That's what you're going to be. Because what proceeds out of your mouth will come straight from Him. I wish I could say that we were infallible, but we are fallible. I wish I could say that we don't fail, because we do. But for His grace, His mercy, His love, His tenderness, His faithfulness, each and every one of us should be on our face before Him. That's the truth. Because I've never figured out another way to continue to follow Him other than to be on my face before Him. Get my instructions every day. Get my strength every day. Did you know that Richard Wurmbrand, when he was kidnapped off the streets, that scripture, Psalms 56, he said that was only one of 366 times in the Word of God that God said, do not fear, do not be afraid, have no fear. He said it's one for every day and one for the leap year. You think about that. 366 times. Now, I've never counted them, but I believe what Richard Wurmbrand said, because he endured 14 years in a communist prison, tortured for his faith in Christ. He never gave up, never gave in, never gave out. You see, you got to have your heart fixed on Him for what's to come. I don't know what's coming. I wish I could tell you what's coming. We'd all be way more prepared. But it's like I was talking to Brother John, or you got to be prepared before you get there. You got to be prepared in your heart before you get there. You know, most of the time, people study for a test. They get prepared. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a really big test that's going to be coming. Amen. There's a really big test that's going to be coming. It would be nice if Jesus just come get us, huh? To me, that would be wonderful. That would be the ultimate out. But you know something? I've always found that there is no testimony without that test. Your testimony is one of three ingredients to overcoming the enemy. Did you know that? You read over in the book of Revelations. It says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives, even unto death. Pick up your cross, follow me, deny yourself. 1, 2, 3. I always like to think of that as the 1, 2, 3s of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Him. So he fixed his eyes on and says, look at us. So he gave them his attention. He was expecting to receive something. You see, if we're not expecting to receive something, we get complacent. We get to where every day is just the same. And when problems come our way, we forget to call on God first. We go to men, or we go to the doctor, or we go here, or we go there. We go everywhere but to Him. You see, He needs to be first and foremost on our hearts. We need to be looking to Him, expecting to receive from Him to fix every problem. And listen to me, if he doesn't fix your problem, talk to him about it, okay? Don't talk to everybody else about it. I used to tell people about that. I said, if you got a problem in the church, don't discuss it in the foyer. Don't discuss it there. Go to the person. Do exactly what the Word of God says. Go talk to them. Don't talk to everybody else. See, we're in danger when we do those kind of things, the way that I read the Word of God. We're in danger. So he was expecting to receive something from them. And of course, you know what Peter said, hey, I don't have any money. But what I do have, I give. What I do have, I give. Did you know that you cannot give away what you do not possess? You cannot give away love if it's not in your heart. You cannot give away mercy or grace. You cannot give any of those things away unless it's within you. You know that? You know how all those things are within you? That's when Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And when he comes to live within you, you don't want to do anything wrong anymore. You want to live a life that is pure and holy before God and before man. You think about it. Because I'm going to tell you what, this world is full of excuses, and there's plenty of them out there that want to give you an excuse to do anything that you want to do. And that's exactly what's happening, folks. That's exactly what's happening. They're coming up with more excuses to do whatever you want to do and not what God wants you to do. If we don't expect to receive something from him each and every time that we go to prayer, each and every day that we live, to strengthen us, to guide us, direct us, then what are we doing? We're just going through the motions? Are we just showing up? You know, I had a guy one time ask me, the church down there in Porter back in the mid-90s, late 90s, was a revival spirit had hit that church, and that church was growing leaps and bounds, and there were people coming from all over, and had a guy show up one time, and he said, man, y'all got a lot of exciting things going on here. He said, sounds like to me you got a really great social club here. You see, he had the totally wrong idea about actually what was happening. He reminds me about some of the stories that I've read in the Word of God where people were around the power of God that was all around them, yet they couldn't see it. They walked right by it. Their mind was on something else. Well, what is our minds on? Every day, I'm talking about every day, because, you know, God does not want weekend visitation. He wants full custody. Okay, he wants full custody of your life, not just a Sunday morning, not just a Wednesday night. He wants full custody. And the only way that you're going to stay that way is that you have the fire of God hidden in your heart. And no room for compromise. You see, compromise is the biggest enemy of commitment. You want to be committed to something? Don't compromise. Don't let people be a stumbling block for you. You just look right through that stuff and you just keep going right on the path that God set you on and don't look back. What's that the Word of God says where Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know what that tells me? That's somebody that at one time they was plowing for God. And all of a sudden, what happened? God didn't go anywhere. God didn't change. Compromise. That's what gets in the way of the best, is that's good enough. I've heard that 1,000 times on framing crew. That's good enough. Come on, carpenters, y'all know what I'm talking about. So Peter said, what I do have, I give to you. Can I tell you something? We need to be giving them Jesus every day, every day, every day. Now, y'all think my little wife over there of 53 years, you think she's real shy sometimes, although she would talk your ear off out there in the foyer. When we're in a restaurant, them young couples, I'm going to tell you what, she is on them like a duck on a June bug. She will talk to them. She is, that lady told me the other day, said, well, she just come out of her shell. Well, I tell you what, she has in a big way, because they're all got a big old target on their chest. And she hones in on them. She'll talk, especially if they got a kid with them. She's going to talk to them about kids, and she's going to talk to them about God. Because that's the way she's wired up. And she's wired up for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, she's running on all 440. No problem at all. He is the only one that ought to have anything to say in your life. Not your government, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your job. Now, all of those things are very important. I'm not discounting none of that. But I'm going to tell you what, when it all boils down to the final say-so, Jesus is the only way. Amen. He is the only. See, because salvation is by Jesus alone. Not Jesus and your job or Jesus and your family. No, it's Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Him. You see, He's the one that shed the blood. No one else did. He's the one that made a way where there didn't seem to be no way, because there wasn't a way until He came and shed His blood. He's always been the way. I love that scripture in John 14. Way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. I get to preach that scripture all the time because I do so many funerals. I'm appalled at how many people don't have pastors or ministers that they even know that can come help their family at such a terrible time in their hearts and lives. But you see, that's part of the ministry that God's called me and Lily to. That's what we do. I told her here the other day, I said, you realize I've already done 37 funerals this year? 37 families. Now, I love it. I love to be able to talk to these people, because it's a new opportunity every time to talk to somebody, to bring them some comfort and assurance and show them the way to Jesus Christ. You see, we got to be ready to give Him away at a moment's notice. And the only way you can do that is have a prepared heart, have a prepared spirit, be ready within yourself, not even thinking about it. And when somebody presents a need, you jump on it. I don't know if y'all know an author by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, but he used to say, you must seize the opportunity of a lifetime and the lifetime of that opportunity. You must be on it with all fours each and every time. You got to be ready to give them an answer. That's what the Word of God said. Be ready to give an answer for those that, hey, what is this within you that makes you so excited about this guy, Jesus Christ? I said, well, I'm glad you're asking. You got an hour or two? Let me talk to you. Let me tell you what He did in my heart and life. See, your witness is very, very important, whether you realize it or not. You just talk about what God has done in your life and how He changed you. I can tell you how He changed me, because I know what I used to be, and I don't want to be that way no more. You see, I found out that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is not what I can't do no more. It's what I don't have to do no more. Because I've had people tell me, they say, well, all you Christians, it's just what you can't do no more. And I said, well, I don't know about you, but I don't have to do that stuff no more. I don't have to walk that way. I don't have to think that way. I don't have to live that way. And every evening when I go to sleep, I can say, good night, Lord. And in the morning, I can say, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's a few hours, and sometimes it's 6 or 7. You just never know. You never know when the Lord's going to wake you up. I had an old pastor friend of mine. He used to tell me, he said, "Tommy," he said, "if you want to walk with God, you got to be prepared to write down whatever he speaks to you, because it ain't going to come around the second time the same way." He said, "If that's 2 a.m. in the morning, always have that pad and pencil ready. Write it down, and then you can go back to sleep, because then you don't have to try to remember it. It is written down." I'm sharing with John. He shared with me a question about following God that was very profound to him. And I was sharing with him what I read. It was about 3:30 this morning, John. You know, when Jesus was tempted after he came out of 40 days in the wilderness and he had fasted, and how did he defeat the enemy? He kept telling him, "It is written. It is written. It is written." You go to book of Matthew all 3 times. "It is written. It is written." And of course, then the devil had to leave him. You know, had to leave him. And the thought came to me earlier this morning as I was reading that. I said, "It is written." And it's like Holy Spirit said, "But have you read it? Have you read it? Have you digested it? Does it live within you? Is it something that you use for a defense against the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Is it something in your heart and in your life that no one can take away?" I told y'all before that a man with an experience with God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument about God. Share your experience. Make a difference in someone else's life. Set yourself on fire. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. Set yourself on fire with the Word of God, and people come watch you burn. Because you'll be excited about something. And I'm going to tell you what, I run across people that ain't excited about nothing. I mean, every day just the same. I said, "Man, you need to serve God. It'll get more exciting than you want." Especially when you run across folks that don't like you just because you talk about Jesus. And they're out there. I had back in the day, you know, when you had them phones that was tied to the wall. Remember them? And I had a little recorder on there. I was in business, and people would call me and leave messages for jobs, you know, call me back, so forth and so on. One day, this guy calls my phone, and I didn't answer the phone. He gets my message, and I talk about Jesus on my message, you know, and then leave me your number and so forth. And so he asked me when I called him, he said, "Hey," he said, how many times you ever get people that wouldn't let you do a job because you talked to them about Jesus?" I said, "I don't know. They didn't leave a message." Didn't hurt me, you see. It didn't hurt me a bit, because God was taking care of me. He took care of me for all of those years. 21 years of contracting. I mean, we never went hungry. We always had food, you know, had a place to stay. Paid all the bills. You see, there's always going to be people out there that don't like you when you stand for something. Make sure you stand for the right thing. Make sure you stand for Jesus Christ. Make sure that your heart is on fire for Him. You see, John the Baptist, before Jesus came and was baptized by John, what did John tell all them folks that was there being baptized? See, this was a baptism of repentance, is what John was into. It was a baptism of repentance. And he told them, he said, "There's one that is coming," because they was wondering if he was the Christ or not. You know, people tinking and whispering and talking among themselves. And John knew what in the world they were talking about. So he just said, he just cleared the air. He said, "Hey, guys, there's one coming after me that I'm not worthy to even loosen his sandals, take them off of his feet. But he will one day baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You see, that Holy Ghost and fire is for you to witness. You read on over there in the book of Acts, in chapter 1. We'll just turn there right quick. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days to come.'" You shall be baptized in him. You're going to be immersed in him. He will become such a part of your life that no one will see you any longer. They will see him. They will hear him when you open your mouth. I truly believe that people that are totally sold out, yeah, people are going to talk about you. Okay, that's fine. They talk about Jesus too. They beat on him, whipped him, stabbed him, nailed him. I don't think any of us have gone through that yet. And he did it all for us, by the way. If you want to be thankful for something, just be thankful that he came. Be thankful that he allowed us to even be a part of it. He didn't have to do that. Didn't have to. He could have opted out, but he didn't. Nevertheless, what did he say? "Not my will, but thine be done." Not my will. You see, that's one thing that one of the first things you need to surrender if you're going to fully trust God, if you're going to fully follow God, is surrender your will. It'll make it much easier on you, because I'm going to tell you what, you ain't hurting him. You're hurting you. I tell people all the time about eternity. I tell them, I say, you know, it's going to be a really long time. That's why they call it forever. Our time here is just short, you know. Whatever we do here, it commands where we're going to be there. Think about it. Well, you see, eternal damnation is still eternal. Nobody likes to talk about that, but I'm going to tell you what, that's the facts. Just like eternal life. You think about it. And then if we're dead set and we are on the road and we are glued to it, we need to be witnessing so that others will know him too. That was one of his last commands. Go. Go. Go out there and tell them. Go out there and get them. Go into the highways and the byways and bring them in. I don't know if you can grab them by the hair of their head and drag them in, but, you know, hey, whatever works. I wouldn't try it, though. Because, you see, lest the Spirit draw them, Scripture says they will not come. Lest the Spirit draws them, they will not come. But I'm going to tell you what, if they haven't heard it from you, they need to. That's how people's hearts and minds and lives are changed, is they heard it. You know, my little wife lived a life in front of me for years before I got saved. Years. She was tired of it. But God saw to it. Okay? I was almost 38 years old. She was my prayer warrior, and I didn't know what prayer was. Set your heart on fire for God. Wait on him. You know, a lot of times we do more talking than we ought to. Or be listening. I found that to be true with talking to God. If I just listen a while, he'll enlighten me on a few things. He'll answer all my questions. No problem. Acts 1 verse 7 says, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses. Are you witnessing? See, only you know that. This is the test, but you get to grade yourself. Are you witnessing? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you showing them that you have that power that lives within you? That I'm going to tell you what, not everybody has that power that walks into a church building. Because I'm going to tell you what, you can put a bicycle in the garage, but it don't make it a car. I'm just preaching to you what God preaches in my ear, okay? We got to get our own house in order and our own lives right before we can see other people's lives. Like I said earlier, you can't give away what you don't possess. And who or what you love is what you will commit your heart to. Who or what you love. You know, love is a word today that used to mean a lot. And now it's just kind of flippantly thrown around to mean a lot of different things that it isn't. But the love of God that was instilled through Holy Spirit in our hearts as believers is one of the most powerful resources, I would say, that we have to lean on. The other one is knowing how to forgive. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. You think about that now. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Think about that. Man, that is hard. But it's only hard if we're always thinking in the carnal. If we're always thinking in the spirit, as Jesus would have us think, it won't be near as hard. To forgive those who hurt you, that do you wrong. In fact, it says do good to those who do you wrong, didn't it? Do good to them. Apostle Paul told us over in Galatians 6, he said to do good to all. And especially those of the household of faith. Do good to all. But I'm here to tell you, unless that fire of God resides in your heart, you'll have a really hard time doing everything that we talked about this morning. You see, because I truly believe that for love and forgiveness to be first and foremost in your heart and life, it is a supernatural thing that has to overtake you and you live for Him. I told the congregation one time, I said, except for Jesus, you ought not to have anything to say at all. Every word that proceeds out of our mouth ought to be Him. The fire of God residing in us, it'll rub off on other folks if you'll use it. Because it is there to be used. He's given it to us free. Just, here it is. But people know who you are. They know what you're about. Because what proceeds out of your mouth tells them. It also tells them if something ill proceeds out of your mouth and you immediately repent of that and ask for forgiveness, that also tells them who you are. Believe me, it really does tell them. We could go on and on here, but I'm going to tell you what. On that day of Pentecost, old Peter, he got fired up. He got fired up. And he didn't let the water of the world put him out. You know, right after that feller got healed there at the Gate Beautiful, there was 3,000 folks. I mean, 5,000 after the Gate Beautiful. Right after the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 folks. You think about that. When's the last time you saw 3,000 folks get saved in one meeting? When's the last time any of us be even been in a meeting that had 3,000 folks? Some of these things are just amazing. You know, you get to thinking about it. I was thinking on that early this morning, and I thought, you know, there was a revival that I read about old Jonah, you know, that itinerant preacher that was, he didn't want to go. I don't want to preach to them people, Lord, because I know what you'll do. That was 120,000 folks in Nineveh. He preached walking through Nineveh 3 days. 120,000 people and all their animals. You think about that. Let me tell you, God living within you and His Word is the most powerful thing that you will ever have your hands on. Your witness is, like I said, one of the three ingredients to overcoming the enemy. And all he wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. Let's do like old Paul said, be all things to all men that we might by all means win a few of them. You see, there's still folks in these woods up here that still need salvation. They still need Him. They might not know it, they might not want it, but they still need Him. What they don't understand is that eternal life is the only way is through Jesus. People think sometimes they're just good to go because they're good folks, but Jesus said, hey, there ain't none good but God. None good but God. Let's go after them, okay? Wouldn't it be awesome to have revival spirit just break out in Oakhurst? I'm telling you, it fill up all these churches around here to overflowing. It's possible. Who would have ever thought that Jonah walking 3 days through Nineveh that 120,000 people would have got saved? But for God, right? But for God. Let's seek His face and not His hand and go after Him for this community. Set yourself on fire and people watch you burn. Some of them make fun of you. Big deal. You know who you are and you know where you're headed. All you got to do is tell them. Besides that, Jesus said, if they don't like it, just dust your feet off. Because there's some more people out there that want to know. There's some more people out there that need to know. There's people out there that haven't heard. You see, you don't know what you don't know if you don't know. But once you do, you become responsible for it. Okay? You become responsible. You've heard this message this morning. You're responsible. All you got to do is just open your mouth and start talking about Him. Because when He's hidden your heart, He'll come out. I know He'll come out of y'all's mouths because I know a bunch of you. All you got to do is just start talking about Him. Because He's there. Is there anybody here that needs Jesus this morning? I'm going to tell you what, now's the time, today's the day. You know, I like a 21st century altar call. Every eye open and no heads bowed. That's 21st century. Okay? You see, Jesus hung naked on the cross and died for each and every one of us right before everybody. That's always been my reason. And why has everybody got to bow their head? Why? You know, everybody peeking anyway. God bless you, brother. You see, I didn't get saved in church, although I love church. I love God's people. I just like being around people that are just full of the fire of God, man. I like to see them sparks fly. You can't hardly get a word in edgewise because somebody has got a testimony that they just got to tell, you know? You ever been around people like that? I'm telling you, it is awesome. We can have revival service just standing there, and if they don't look out, I'll take up an offering. I just love you people. I'm going to tell you what, I love you, Pastor. Let's see something happen. Let's see a fire above this church, okay? This church be a beacon in the night. Because I'm going to tell you what, it can happen. It can happen. Anything is possible with God. We just got to go after Him. We got to go after him with all fours, okay? Can't hold nothing back. Hide that word in you, and when you talk to somebody, just let it come out. You'll find out right quick whether they're going to run. They have to say, oh me or oh my or run or something. I've seen them run, and I've seen them not run. And when they least expect it, somebody will want to know more. Boy, what a satisfying thing. I'm telling you what, that gets me excited all over more than any other spot. Just wonderful. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And I just pray that the Lord set y'all on fire, okay? Because that fire is for witness. That fire is supposed to be pent up inside you, just ready to leap out at any minute and get a hold of those people that are out there. You know, Peter just spoke to that guy. What did it say that he did? He ran leaping and running into the, I mean, people knew that for all those years, he was 40-something years old, and he'd been lame all those years. Let's set the world on fire. See, I love what Brother John with that 300, man. That's near and dear to my heart. One of these days I'm going to be able to make it. I just never know what my schedule is. But God bless y'all. Appreciate you. Keep the doors open. Let the fire continue to burn. Keep on keeping on for Jesus, okay? Because he is the only way that we, any of us, are going to make it at all. Let's pray. Father, first of all, Lord, I thank you that there is such a thing as Holy Spirit and the fire of God, Lord, that is able to reside, Lord, within our mortal bodies. I ask you today, Lord, to let that heat intensify in each and every one of our spirit, Lord. That, Lord, that those that are outside the walls of this church, Lord, that are not serving you, that don't know about you, or maybe they do know about you, Lord, but they just never surrendered. I pray, Father, that you would prepare their heart, Lord, for the words that we would speak, that their lives would be changed, their hearts would be won, Lord, their souls would be saved. I ask you, Father, to go before us, Lord, as a body of believers, and that each and every one of them, Lord, would be arrested by your love, that they would be captured, Lord, by your mercy and your tenderness and your grace, and that they too, Lord, would have their names, Lord, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, forever and ever and ever. And Father, I just give you all the glory, I give you all the praise and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.